Bokatov, good morning. We'll have the introduction to the morning instructions, and Zaha's already put into the chat four of the main themes that we'll be relying on. Probably none of them will be fully unfamiliar to you. Some we've already mentioned on this retreat. Anicca we haven't leaned into too much so far, but that quality that things are changing, transitory, and how that can be relevant for today's instructions will become more clear. So last night we talked about the hindrances to practice, hindrances to the steadiness, development of meditation. And sometimes we can have a feeling that the hindrances are things which appear in meditation. But of course, they're actually things which appear in life. You know, you can have hindrances in meditation, but you can also have hindrances in life, you know, at any time. And so I just want to share just a couple of reflections on how we can practice in perhaps difficult circumstances. And I'm not saying this, you know, it can kind of come across with a feeling of pressure. It's like, well, you should be able to practice in any circumstance. But what we're exploring in our meditations here is that the atmosphere could be more significant than the object. You know, so if there's people talking around you, the way we meet that may have more impact than just the fact that there are people talking around you, other people moving about, having the rest of their life, normal life, around us. So, you know, I just want to share something. I actually went to a retreat in the Tibetan tradition, it turns out, and I was expecting a silent retreat. And because that's what I thought retreats were, you know, they were all fully in silent. And it turned out that it was a lot less silent than I had thought. It also turned out that even some of the boundaries that seemed to be, you know, agreed upon weren't actually being followed. So even the meditation hall actually wasn't silent a lot of the time. An amusing thing was actually the teacher, who was Tibetan, sometimes would sit and play on his phone while he was waiting for everyone to gather in the room. You know, it's a really different atmosphere. And I was struggling with that. I was like, no, this isn't retreat. You know, this isn't retreat. How am I supposed to practice here? People aren't being silent. The teacher isn't even refraining from, you know, using his phone. You know, is he even here? You know, is he? Maybe he's checking his notes. Maybe he's checking a translation. But I think more likely, you know, he's chatting, you know. I was feeling like it's not possible to do a meditation here. It's not possible to practice here. But I was really dedicated to the practice. You know, the dedication was there. And the dedication really matters, you know. So I actually ended up, you know, sitting, I listened to the teachings, I thought, oh, there's some helpful things being shared here, helpful things to practice. So I was trying to practice them. And so I was sitting on at the end of the meditation session. And I could feel the impact of staying present, staying open, staying quite spread. And my experience, I could feel, is like, this is delightful. This is actually delightful. I'm generating an atmosphere that's delightful to be in. I'm just staying in it. And then people started talking, of course, because, you know, we didn't have the boundary in the same sense. And amazingly enough, I had two people either side of me, and they were talking over me. So I had one voice coming into my right ear, and another voice coming into my left ear, and they were just talking. And my immediate sense was, this shouldn't be happening. You know, this shouldn't be happening. But I remembered, you know, this is just reactivity. The space is still available. And I just re-stretched the space and just held the space open And these voices were coming, and slowly, slowly, I couldn't hear them. You know, they were happening. I was sure they were still there, talking, but they weren't absorbing the whole of my attention. More of my attention was going in keeping the space open. And so I was very, very fortunate, you know, that somehow this all kind of came together. But what was really amazing and why I'm sharing it isn't, you know, for you to think, wow, you know, maybe I can do this too. Yeah, you can do this too. But it's actually that the meditation went deeper because I had the incentive to keep opening, because I could feel the pressure to close. And I don't know if it what it was, but the combination of the two really just entered me into quite a different space. Yeah, because sometimes our openness can become a little bit vague. Yeah, we can kind of just open, soft, open, and maybe we kind of fall asleep. Yeah, we kind of lose the thing. But it's like, if I don't keep it open, I'm going to go into reactivity. And just, I think that combination of openness and focused, open and focused together, really supported something else. So, in a way, that's what I'm suggesting we try and do today. Yeah, we try and relate well to our circumstances, not be too over-focused in having the perfect conditions for a retreat, and really explore not giving up. Not letting ourselves be defeated by not having the perfect conditions. Yeah. Not having a perfect posture. Not having a perfect mind. So that it's the atmosphere that really matters. If we go into boredom, yeah, we joked about how to play with boredom yesterday. Yeah. Or if we have a mind that's getting very distracted, yeah, not forgetting these are temporary. Yeah, these are anicca, actually. They're coming and going. They're arising conditions. And if we can not react to them as if they're solid, oh, this is who I am, this is how it is from now on. It's boring. Yeah, we actually hold them in the space. They're dependent on the way of looking. They're an atmosphere. It's not the object itself. We bring more interest to boredom, it changes, experience changes. Yeah. Don't scratch the itch. All of those kinds of modalities. And we're training ourselves in how to be with the urges, the hindrances. Yeah. Really a great theme for a home retreat. And remember, hindrances are an atmosphere. They're not in the object. So what we're looking for in this meditation is, can we be with all Vedana without escalating into dukkha? Can we be with all the Vedana without escalating into dukkha? And so I think the first thing that can be really helpful here is to remember, whatever's arising is anicca. It isn't forever. It's going to pass. Yeah. And we can breathe with it. We can stay with it. We don't need to fix it. Yeah. Already it's going to pass. There's maybe the possibility we can just be with this for a little while. Feeling that it's going to pass loosens the reactivity. You know, it just turns it down. It goes from a high fever to a less high temperature, you know, just ease that a little bit. And we'll see, you know, if that starts to support a sense that we can be with this with equanimity, you know, spaciousness, holding, steadiness, balancing, not being thrown around as much. It's equanimity. And if we can also support this with the flavor of metta, whatever's arising to be met with kindness. And that quality of equanimity and metta is really, we're not shutting down. We're staying in touch. We're not trying to make appearances disappear. We're just trying to meet them. More space. And in that space, also able to be more intimate, more close, more touched. So we could say, today's practice is all Vedana, held in spacious receptivity. So perhaps that sentence really needs translation. All Vedana, held in spacious receptivity. So I don't know if you even want to just say it, or should I say it again? But I mean, if you could say it in Hebrew. So we can feel when a pleasant thing arises, there can be this pull, to pull it towards us, to get it, to keep it. When an unpleasant Vedana arises, you can feel that urge to push it away, to not have it. Yeah, to cut off that half of our baguette and throw it away. I don't want the unpleasant. And then there's things which aren't really pleasant, aren't really unpleasant. And we tend to ignore or treat with boredom. Yeah. So, nothing's happening. But there is something happening, and the way that we're relating to it is shaping experience. Happiness and well-being is not in the object, it's in the atmosphere, it's in the way of relating. The dukkha, the hindrance, is again in the atmosphere, it's not in the object. The more immediate sense of well-being is there, in a wide atmosphere of metta. Okay, so we've caught up, I think, in the chat. So you can have your last look at that, and then we'll begin the practice. See if we can bring this into practice, if it'll make more sense this way. Just feeling, what's the right posture for you right now? One that supports you to be grounded, but also feel alive. Supports you to be stable, steady, also open and sensitive. Seeing if you want to come to the breath or body contact. So that's welcomed into the space of awareness. Notice this quality, samadhi, where body, sensations, breath are held in the mind, held in awareness. The awareness, the body, the heart, mind, all in the same moment. All these qualities together. Just relaxing into this, supporting it, letting it soften us without fading away, without disappearing. There's any sense of nourishment, any sense of well-being, just allowing yourself to stay with that, to linger with it, or even to allow it to spread. We can just again notice where the attention is in this moment, without any pressure or disappointment, if it's wandered away. Just inviting the body into awareness, into consciousness, into attention. And as we do so, just noticing, what's the Vedana of body? The Vedana, I'm not asking you to evaluate your experience, but more to get a sense of the evaluation that already happened. The body feeling pleasant, unpleasant. Understand there will have been some subtle level of reactivity whenever there's contact. Can we feel that if there's any urge to maybe reject or to hold on to, just relaxing, supporting a metta atmosphere, body, however it is, held in spacious kindness, even if it's a little unpleasant or neutral or even pleasant, keeping it spacious, keeping it light, keeping it kind. we supporting steadiness by coming back very slowly if we wander away? So we don't rush. Now bringing into mind the mind state, the state of the mind, the mood, maybe we could say. The mind is uplifted or more down. The mind is spacious or more small. Just notice it has a vedana. It feels somewhere between nice and not nice. Again, just seeing if this brings any sense of rejection or trying to keep on, hold on to. Seeing if we can just relax with a metta atmosphere, holding the mind state. The mood, the condition of the mind. Like a general sense of the mood or the mind state, not particular thoughts we're trying to be with, just the flavor of mind. However it is, whatever the vedana of that, be with it with a wide, spacious awareness. We can check in again, the mind state, the mood now. Is it the same? Is it changed? Can this be held in a spacious awareness? your moment to relax through the body, relaxing the face, relaxing the shoulders, relaxing the belly, relaxing the breath, letting the breath be full. Once again, just open, receptive being. Invitation now is to open to sounds. What can you hear in your environment when I stop talking? Letting the sounds come to you, staying steady in your being, open and receptive. Whatever arises, not picking and choosing, just listening to what arises. There may be sounds we prefer, sounds we dislike. The sounds which are nice, sounds which are not nice. But none of them last. They appear, remain, disappear. When they disappear completely, completely gone. Even the least pleasant sound, completely gone. Because of this, because of anicca, we can really allow them to fully happen. Each sound is precious, just for now. Each time we need to, just opening space of awareness, opening the receptivity, welcoming in sounds. You may notice not only is there a vedana when there's sound contact, also this noting, this defining, that's a car, that's a bird, that's a human. Maybe we can ease that noting. It's actually just a sound, it's a vibration. the moment, we can even ease off the noding of the Vedana. Just listening to sounds as sound vibrations. Each apparently individual sound that comes in and out of being is also put together of sound vibrations. Letting the attention become quite intimate with this. Vibrations put together from vibrations. How is it to open to this river of sounds flowing through here and now, an open, receptive awareness? It's really like sitting next to a river. Having a river flow through us. Just allowing the sounds to be fully revealed in consciousness and then fully gone. Each sound made up of changing vibrations. In themselves are made up of changing vibrations. Actually nothing constant. Everything has this nature of arising and passing. You feel into the sensations of the body, sensations of contact. When we come closer, we also see their rippling, changing vibrations. Keep this open, receptive awareness as we tune into the body. also notice this with any flavor in the mouth, a taste also made up of changing sensations. Any smells or aromas in the nose. We open to a wide receptive awareness. Keeping it open in this way, you may even notice that thoughts, just balls of energy passing through the sky like clouds, coming in and out of being, also made up, put together. Everything like the sounds, coming and going. Everything is flowing through consciousness. Of course, every so often something gets entangled, remains in consciousness, becomes the focus. Oftentimes because it has a stronger Vedana. We know it's not going to last on a deeper sense. Train ourselves not to demand for things to leave or remain because of their Vedana. To not grasp at or push away. So opening to seeing this as a nature, no object is able to bring lasting happiness or distress because it doesn't last. The lasting happiness or distress is in the way of relating in the atmosphere. So we just open around this, the way of practicing, the way we have to live. Just how is it to do this as a practice? If there's something lovely, the clear, pleasant Vedana, recognize because of its inconstancy, it's a nicha, it's changing nature, it won't last, can't bring lasting satisfaction. We can be close to it, intimate with it, feel it, give it the space it needs. Also demand less, ease the relationship. This is a Nietzsche, unable to bring lasting happiness. And we just open to allow it to be felt. If there's something unpleasant, clear, unpleasant Vedana, doesn't benefit from rejection. That rejection is dukkha. Since neither this thing nor rejecting this phenomena brings lasting satisfaction, can we open around this too? Whatever we're contacting is a Nietzsche, unable to bring lasting happiness. Just opening around that. Letting things be, to come into being, to remain, and to leave in their own time. Not rushing the process, just giving the space. Whatever's in consciousness now is a Nietzsche. Cannot last. Whatever Vedana it's been given is also a Nietzsche. As we open, welcome, and also allow and release, perhaps even the Vedana changes. Vedana is also in the atmosphere, not in the object. If there's boredom or a lack of interest, that's the object in attention. It's also a Nietzsche, also dependent on the way of relating on the atmosphere. What happens if we open to this? What happens if we investigate this? letting be, and in time letting go. This mode of attention supports more well-being, just allowing ourselves to be touched by that. Let that nourish us. But this too is inconstant, not to be grasped onto, but to be enjoyed while it lasts. And released in its time. Any fruits of this practice we feel, what we've cultivated in this time of steadiness and sitting, if we can support ourselves in the transition. So we can keep that steadiness as we move out of one mode of meditation into another. I'll just say a little bit about walking today, and then we can either go off and do some walking or stay in the hall if you have any questions about this practice today or from the talk yesterday, maybe. So at this stage in the retreat, we might recognize we need a little more dedication to do the walking practice. You know, there can be this subtle idea. Maybe it's shaped by the number of statues of the Buddha sitting, and not so many of him walking about, that walking meditation is like a secondary practice. But it really can be a primary practice just as easily. Yeah. It's the quality of the atmosphere that we generate, the qualities that we cultivate that are significant, more significant than the shape of the body, the posture that we're in. So just notice if there's any contraction towards the idea of doing walking meditation. You know, it's just an idea. Yeah, this too shall pass. And what matters more is how we bring ourselves to it. There's actually something delightful in the simplicity that's offered through the walking practice. To spend some time unified in the walking, you know, we're really just with the body in the walking, with the sounds, with the sights of here and now. The mind can travel through space and time. This can just bring us back, bring us in contact. So we can notice that urge to be somewhere else, that urge to be doing something else, and recognize, that's a dukkha. And the dedication to just doing this, even if we're bored, even if we feel distracted. Just for a moment, maybe we can just do a little bit more. Just take a few more steps with boredom. And what I think you'll notice is that the boredom actually doesn't last. And the well-being can actually come through that. So get interested. We could actually play with our perception of walking. Play with the way that we see walking. So for me, sometimes it's much more helpful, rather than think about walking, is I actually think about slowly dancing up and back in the room. Slowly dancing in a circle around the room. And so you might notice, I've noticed this looking at people on retreats, not sure if I've noticed it so much in Israel, but when people do walking meditation, they go a bit robotic, and they go a bit rigid in their walking. You can dance like a robot if that's your kind of thing, but you might actually just want to really loosen the arms, loosen the shoulders, loosen the hips. When you walk, your hips should be just moving around, and it can actually be a really nice kind of yoga. And it actually loosens out the body. Let your arms be involved in the walk, be walking in your own space, so you can really, let yourself be as fluid and as funky and as open and loose as you want. Enjoy the walking. Walk in a way that your body is going to enjoy. And at the end of the line or part of the circuit, really open to the changing sounds, open to the space around you, open to the changes in the light, open to the changes in the mood. Also cultivating beneficial ways of being. All of this changes, all the Vedana changes. So we don't want to just react to the negative Vedanas that come up, or the boredom, or the distractions, or the thirsting for some other experience. Can we actually be with them all in the walking? So if walking's an edge for you and you know it, then this is a really great place where we can explore our edges, with sensitivity. We open around that. Can I do something that I'm thinking is boring and make it more interesting? Find a way of relating well to the experience.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.